Yes, you are tuned in to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. Right here on RBN. I am the principal host, the one and only V, coming at you from Eastern Europe. through Austin, Texas, to the rest of the world. Yes. Brought to you by TLBTalk.com, by the way. One and only free speech social network, I should say. Yeah. More free speech than any others I've seen. That's for sure. All right. Yeah. Let's get into the show. You know, I like how long my intro is, because I almost forgot my tea. But anyways, we're going to get back into the show here. And I know you guys are probably wondering, V, why have you not talked about the Buffalo shooter? Well, that's because I want the energy around that to die down a little bit. Just a little bit. Because, you know, it actually connects with everything that I was talking about last night. At these examples of these absurdities that we have seen in media. And now it's being replicated in behavior. Now, the argument has always been, oh, have you watch violence on TV and now you're going to commit violence. And it's like, no, there's a nature of a thing, and that thing is always going to reach its true nature. Okay? That's just what it is. However, if you politicize something, if you publicize something to such an extreme, yes, people are going to think that it's okay. It's okay to do. And that, I mean, having seen this Darman video with this white woman whipping black teenagers, crippled black teenagers, you know, it's something so absurd. So absurd. It's beyond the realm of, you know, what you would think is real. But no. We had a child, white kid, go across the street and attempt to whip his neighbors, his black neighbors. And the child, you know, even after the mother stood, opened a door, told him to go about his way, he kept standing there. In defiance. What's this 9-year-old white kid going to do? Whoop this grown black woman? It looked like he had it in him to do it. So as monstrous as that is, you know, I know some of you go, you call and you, I think you're, I don't know, trying to play it down. I don't think you know the severity of it. I mean, you call in, you say, you know, I've been through stuff, you know, people have done stuff to me, and, you know, by black people and white people, oh, everybody's evil. But no. You've got social norms. You know, anybody can kick the crap out of anybody. But you make it personal. You make it cutting into the psyche when you do something like bring a whip to attack a black person. Okay? It would be so freaking personal if I were to... Well, I don't want to give any examples out there. Again, you know, people and their examples, and they're wanting to imitate art, turning it into life. So, it's just ridiculous. But on that subject, I want to start off, you know, I try to start off with a little light comedy I'm not a comedian, so I'm just a commentator. But I want to start off with a little Jim Dore, and he has made some excellent points that I want to cover. So I do believe, I think we should just start from the start, I think. I don't think he curses too much. Mike will have to help me out with that, but go ahead.
You've heard about the Buffalo shooter, right? So guy went in, shot, I think it was it 8 black people and 2 white people? Was that how, was that the racial breakdown?
I don't know.
Can you look it up, what the racial breakdown was for me? And so there's lots of people screaming a lot of things. People want Tucker Carlson's head for that. We're going to get to that. But of course, the biggest tool, she's the governor of New York. Now, she's the one who fired 72,000 healthcare workers because they wouldn't take an experimental vaccine. In the middle of a deadly pandemic where they said our hospitals were overrun. And then she fired 72,000 people. And I never heard another thing about a hospital being overrun in that state. How could that be? How could both those things be? How could their hospitals be overrun and then you get rid of 72,000 employees and they're not overrun anymore? So this is propaganda, and she's working directly for the corporations who are screwing you. She's not working for you. She's working directly for the corporations who are screwing you, and that's why she did that. That's why she fired 72,000 healthcare workers. And right now she's using this shooter thing to give more power to the oligarchs that she works directly for. So what she wants to do, she wants to use this horrific shooting to use more to crack down more on free speech and have more censorship. That's exactly what she wants to do. I don't know what.
11 were African Americans and 2 were white.
Oh, so it was 11 African Americans and 2 were white. So 11 African Americans they shot and 2 white people. And Kathy Hochul says, I'm calling on the CEOs of all the social media platforms to examine their policies and to be able to look me in the eye and tell me that everything is being done that they can to make sure that this information is not spread.
Okay, pause right there. Pause right there, Mike. So, wow. Yeah, some people in the audacity. I mean, this woman is going to ask, because they don't have their disinformation board up, right? That woman's gotten fired, Nina Jankowicz. I hope I'm saying her name right. I swear to God, her name sounds like a punchline to a dirty joke. But so they don't have this stuff set up yet to censor information. It's going to politely ask us not to spread it around. I'm part owner of a social network. How about I just go ahead and spread it? You know, this. If you've never seen my middle finger, I will gladly show you what it looks like. I got 2 of them. You can have them both. And so, I don't know, these people have a sense of humor, sick sense of humor. What the Buffalo shootings. More black people died in this shooting than any others, right? The Buffalo shootings? Buffalo soldier! You can't make this stuff up. Come on. Why don't they want this information spread out that the guy was a freaking Nazi? Okay? Why? Yeah. Buffalo soldier. Oh man, I was whew. All right, yeah, I was about to get on it. But yeah, exactly. So, you've got this individual. You know what, let's just go ahead and play a clip. I don't want to preach too much. Go ahead.
Look into my mascara caked eyes and tell me.
It's just... looking to like somehow she's the arbiter of truth, integrity, and morality. She's a lying, willing tool of the oligarchs who are oppressing you. And now she wants to take away your rights, your freedom of speech. She wants to use a tragedy to take away your free speech, and she wants to do it under the guise of she's a good person. She's a horrible person, and I'm going to guarantee you she's a criminal if you looked into it. She's a criminal. I'll guarantee it if you looked into it.
I like how they were like, we got to get these guns. And now it's like, we got to stop information.
Yeah.
Like, that's quite a transition.
That's right. Great point, Kurt. When there used to be a shooting like this, everybody would scream for gun control. Turns out there's a lot of gun control in New York State. And so now they're screaming for censorship. Used to be when there was a gun nut, they would scream for gun laws. Now they scream for censorship. And in America, there's a mass shooting every day.
Stop it right there. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, listen. It's okay to have a white shooter. Well, actually, no, let me back up. It's okay to have a black shooter and, you know, kill however many people, 2, 3, 4 people, you know, drive-by shooting, whatever. It's okay. Because if there's black-on-black crime, you know, who cares, right? That's two problems at once. They fueled that. School shootings was happening 10, 20, 30 years before it ever hit the news because it was happening in black communities. It's okay then. CIA sending in bricks of crack, Mac 11s, Berettas into the black communities. Don't get me on a new Jack rant now. All right, we didn't make the stuff. It had to come from somewhere, right? So it's okay though. If it's white people shooting white people. Hey, we've got domestic terrorists on our hands. Yeah. Domestic terrorists. The really funny thing about it is the domestic part is the feds who coax these people, whether they coerce them into doing it or teach them how to do it. You know, a lot of these people's families get paid because they disappear. They're not around for questioning. But you got a Nazi Ukraine sympathizer who wants to shoot up a bunch of black people. No, let's hush that up. Hush that up. Hush. Hush. And we're importing these Nazis into the U.S.? Seriously. They're flying business class by the federal government to come into the U.S. Yeah, I'm talking about the mobsters, the drug dealers, the politicians, the people working in those bioweapons labs. Yeah. Yeah. It's real. So this has to be covered up. Mass shootings, I already told you guys. We're going to have a record amount of mass shootings in America when Joe Biden got into office, and it's going to be nothing but gun control. Gun control, gun control, gun control. I said it before he was elected. All right, go ahead.
And in America, there's a mass shooting every day. There's a mass shooting every day. Google, how many mass shootings have there been this year, 2022, in the United States? I'm going to guess 90. The white supremacist terrorist who killed at least 10 people at a grocery store in Buffalo, New York, and live streamed it, Peyton Grendon, published a fascist manifesto using the same Black Sun Nazi symbol used by Ukraine neo-Nazi Azov militia, which NATO is arming and training.
According to NPR, 198 mass shootings in 2022.
So I was low. I didn't even get half. 198 mass shootings have already happened in the United States just this year. That's roughly one every day, I'm pretty sure. How many days of the year are there so far? I bet that's more than one a day. Right? So we're 4.5 months in. 4 times 3, that's 120. Yeah, that's more than one mass shooting a day. So you can every day you could say we need more censorship. And so what they're not telling you is that this guy is somehow has an affiliation or an alliance or an affection for the Nazis in Ukraine that we're currently funding.
Are we sure it's also, have we checked into if maybe video games or heavy metal music caused this tragedy?
I'm going to think it's probably heavy metal music first, then video games for sure. Then it's free speech. Then it's Fox News. Okay. So last year, this is by Michael Tracy, last year Time Magazine published an article about Azov Battalion's unrivaled role in transnational white supremacist extremism networks. This the Time Magazine said this. And that the New Zealand mosque shooter, remember the New Zealand mosque shooter, displayed their Nazi-derived symbol. And so did the Buffalo shooter. Will there be any note of this? No. The answer is no. In fact, he links to it, so let's just read it. On the ground floor is a shop called Militant Zone, which sells clothes and keychains with stylized swastikas and other neo-Nazi merchandise. But in the context of the white supremacist movement globally, Azov has no rivals on two important fronts: its access to weapons and its recruiting power. He had spent time in Ukraine in 2015. This is the New Zealand. According to the New Zealand government, he had spent time in Ukraine in 2015 and mentioned plans to move to the country permanently. But during the attack, the shooter wore a flak jacket bearing a black sun, the symbol commonly used by the Azov Battalion.
Wait a minute. So it wasn't PewDiePie who was responsible?
It's not PewDiePie. That's why. It's a very good guess, though. Why wouldn't it be PewDiePie?
That's what they all said. PewDiePie was responsible for that.
There's a lot of disinformation already about the mass shooter in Buffalo, New York. To be clear, he didn't have an Azov Battalion symbol. To be clear.
To be clear? Yeah, right.
To be clear.
So the Azov Battalion just really likes that common white supremacist symbol? Is that the point that she's making?
Or that she's claiming he didn't have an Azov Battalion symbol in his manifesto. It is a sonarad, a black sun, which is a common white supremacist symbol. Well, thanks for clearing that up. I would have got the wrong idea. What is the F?
You know what, guys? We're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to hit the phone lines, because you guys are already wanting to talk. So I'll hit the phone lines, and we'll get into this topic. So stay tuned.
Hey, gang.
My name is John.
Pat McFarland, Michael Coffee. Important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops.
Because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe.
What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Co-Certified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness, but there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
What y'all riffing about? Hang them like they did in the South. Dead with your in your mouth. Now what this is about? Take a sleeper. Like I won't slip in your house.
Come on,
and put my in your till you get home. I lamp like a part of your couch. Dad, sit on me. That's when I'ma squeeze 50 pretty swiftly. Till them coppers come and get me. Try to tell this coward this is real. Acting like I can't get through that slow-man shit. I'm a veteran. I take levers and firms. Safe cracker. Move from New York to Jersey. Still send kites with birds. Nothing's heard. Feds wanna tap my words. Take vehicles off curves. Tools off her. Jewels off all you nerds. You swerve. I splurge with all y'all riches. Coming to junk. Blind all y'all. All
right, now let's go ahead and hit the phone lines because you guys want to talk. You know, the show is all about talking to the people. So let's go to Idaho, line one. Marcus?
Hello, sir.
You got a question and comment for us?
Yes, I do. I want to say that it's... Geez, you're not really respecting the idea of the red pill. And you're taking things kind of askew when you.
I can tell you, I know the original writer
for America.
Hold on. I can tell you, I know the original writer of The Matrix, when it was supposed to be called The Immortals. I know the guy personally. And I'm the only red pill show he endorses. So from the originator of that concept, I could probably argue against that.
Well, I don't know that person, but I know what a red pill means. That's bringing people closer to Christ and closer to patriotism.
No.
And taking them away from the concept that our country is a bad place.
Red pill has nothing to do with Christ. As a matter of fact, the original writers of the he's actually anti-religion and thinks that's a construct. But go ahead.
Well, that's totally wrong of them. And when you talked about asking for reparations for Black Americans.
Did
no.
I?
No. Yes, you did. 2 months ago, you were talking about that. You were saying that white people are totally wrong and everything. Jeez, brother.
You need to re-listen to that show. Of course, everybody is responsible, should be responsible for what they've done. And what I actually said was that well, then why are the Jews getting paid their reparations? They've been getting paid reparations for decades. So what makes them...
Jews are responsible for reparations because they're totally taking over society and they're destroying everything. George Soros should be paying us, everybody, every day, $1 million. Yes, I agree with that. Because he is, same with,
George Soros may be Luthor,
I work my butt off and I'm trying to pay my $500 rent and it takes me a month to pay that. And so I'm supposed to pay reparations for somebody else.
Your ancestors didn't work. If they were indeed slave owners.
So my ancestors could work. Yeah, right. I did. My ancestors didn't give me a penny. They didn't give me any reparations. They didn't make my life better.
That's poor family planning, my friend.
More family plan. If we make family planning a better thing, then we can pay black people, white people.
It's not about that. It's not about that. There are obvious inequalities. There are obvious and pitfalls in the system to make sure that a black person can't come up. Or makes it harder for them to come up. Even and social stigmas.
You don't think even social stigmas.
If you can get rid of all of that, if you can get rid of all of that and say that we're all equal, I would consider that reparations paid. Just let me have my chance to come up without somebody's racism.
All right. The whole thing is the black people moved into northern part of the state on the eastern seaboard, and they aggregated in a certain place. And people took advantage of them because they took advantage of everybody. They took advantage of white people. There were so many white people which could not make any money at all. They just were working themselves to death.
Those people that you're talking about get angry, feel that they've gotten screwed over, feel like they should go back to the old days where they can whip somebody and not have to work hard anymore.
The old days, they escaped from Europe. They escaped from Britain. They escaped from places which had totally destroyed them. And they were trying to find a new life. Our world is not a nice place. It's not a nice place for any people who do not have money and got to find a job. And it's black, it's white, it's red, it's brown. We need to stop saying that there's a special place for people who have certain skin color. Who have been exploited because all of us have been exploited and we continually are being exploited.
But there's a difference. There's a huge difference. I don't know if you've ever been exploited with the 500 lashes whipped into your back. have your entire freedom.
I know that generational scarring happens, my friend.
You don't think my parents whooped my behind when I did something wrong? And see, that's how they destroyed the culture and the mental state of my people.
No, I'm saying that continued.
Yes. I've got my book.
I know when I was in New Mexico and going to school that the Mexicans would throw rocks at me when I was a young kid. And when I was over in Hawaii, they would spit at me and try to hurt me because they were the dominant culture. The dominant culture, the overwhelming culture gets to be jerks when they're young and everything, and being part of things. But when they grow up, there's a superseding element which says humans are humans. But when they're children, yes, that definitely does happen. And it happened to me as a white person, and it happened to me many times. And it's not a race specific thing. It's a dominant culture.
Okay. So what's your point?
I'm not asking for reparations for anything in my life. It has happened to everybody.
You're part of the dominant race. By your argument, so why would you?
We're not part of the dominant race. We're in America.
I assume you're Caucasian.
The dominant race is the Democrats.
And you're talking in philosophical circles, my friend. I'm saying, by your logic, you are part of the dominant race, if I assume that you're Caucasian, if I assume correctly, so why would you ask for reparations?
Because I've been poor my whole life. Because I haven't made more than $20,000 a year for my whole life. I've been struggling. I push. But I haven't broken anything.
So you're saying you've had to stand up on your own two feet and make money to put it in your own mouth, participate in society and the building of a nation like everybody else, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And so what does that entitle me to anything? I think that's...
I don't think you're entitled to anything.
Our children should not be entitled to anything. That we need to give people the ability to stand
on
their own feet.
The son pays for the father's sin, doesn't he?
The son
you have literal debt
on everybody on the same way.
If your mother has debts and she passes away, guess what? You got bill collectors going to be knocking on your door, right?
No, I don't.
Not you personally, but in the scenario, that's what it would be.
No, that is incorrect. You know, if those people were still
no. When my grandmother passed away,
down by their own people, they would have been destroyed. Should they be paid? Should their families be paid because they were mowed down? No, they actually lived.
Marcus. When my grandmother passed away, I remember tons of bill collectors. People calling my mother, trying to get her to pay for my grandmother's debt. So, I mean, I know this probably happens to a lot of people. So what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the slaves that came over to America, which is a horrible thing. But it happened to Americans. It happened to white people. It happened to European people that happened to Muslim what,
that,
people.
That were,
there is no race to, in the world.
Are you saying that this happened to Europeans who were forced on a boat against their will? For those that actually survived the trip after being bundled up like twigs, from Europe and everywhere else that happened to be forced to work as slaves for generations?
What about the Irish and the English, which were taken by the Vikings? Anytime you had a coastal community, they would come by and grab those people and take them over and put them in chains and enslave them. What about the people?
And I can tell you that conflict, which is you're trying to equate a slave trade versus military and international conflict. That of course you're going to take. Of course you're going. Let me finish. You're going to any countries that are at war with each other back in those times. Yes,
they
you took
were
the slaves.
Not at war with each other. The Vikings were not at war with each other.
The Vikings, they Vandals, the Goths. They went across
the
Europe.
Vikings
sack.
Decided.
Why do they think they call them the Sacks? Okay, they sacked people. They took slaves. They took women. Yes, they did.
You know, Jesus. Yes, your race is so totally entitled. You guys think that you're so special. You're not special. You're not special like anybody else. You're the same thing. You're a human being, and the human beings have brought poverty and enslavement across this nation, across the world, for our whole lifetime. It's not something special. You're not special. Black people are not special, and if you have intelligence, then wonderful. We want you to be part of our race. If you're stupid as hell, well then shut up and go away. Because that's the whole thing.
Exactly the white supremacists. That's exactly how the white supremacists think. Oh, well, we're going to find a reason for these people not to be special. We're going to find a reason to make sure these people know that they're animals or they're dogs. That's exactly how they think.
That's exactly how they think, Marcus. Kindness to people who are mentally disabled, if they're black or white or Muslim or whatever race, they are loved. And they're coddled, and they're going to be loved inside of our society. But if you're intelligent, enough to be part of our society and run around, and you be stupid,
oh, confirmation to confirm.
We're going to tell you.
No. What you're talking about is conformity. Okay, so if hold on. So you're talking about conformity. If you're not a savage and you can conform to our ways, and then because we have stolen you from your home.
No savages. I do not want a savage. I don't want Wakanda in America. All right?
Okay, I think I'm done with this call. All right. Yeah, that is the most ignorant thing I've ever heard. And see, there you go. Case in point. I don't want Wakanda in white America. Okay, well, maybe you should have left people in their homes. Maybe you should have left people where they were. You know? You weren't exactly invited onto the continent of Africa. So, I mean, I don't know. What do you want from me? Jews are getting their reparations. It's okay. The idea of reparations has been okay until black people spoke up. Now it's a bad thing. Oh, you can try to talk and justify it all you like. It's garbage. Okay? A debt owed is a debt owed. Okay? If you don't think you owe anybody, fine, whatever. But, you know, deep down in your heart, you know, you should at least try to, you know, remove some of the barriers that make things harder for us in life. That's what I'm saying. Okay. And it's that kind of a train of thought, you know, what Marcus just said. You know, it's why these politicians get let go. You know, when they commit a crime, they get let go. When a black man commits the same crime, you know, it's 80 years to life. You know, there's no equality. You know, you want to talk about love and all that stuff. Where is the love? You got Bill Gates creating vaccines for genocide that he wanted to test out in Africa first. I'm not feeling that love. Sorry. Let's go to the next caller. Fred, go ahead. Fred's probably going to chew me out, too.
V, I'm going to start out with a little humor. Go down to a dead-ass seriousness. And then, if I don't want to eat up too much time, I'm going to give you a little bit of my life story and some of the adventures I have had and what's happened. Okay, to begin with, okay. I love effing jokes. And people could jump to conclusions right quick when I say that. But every race, you can have an ethnic joke. And you don't have to use foul language or anything. And the ethnic group you're talking to will laugh about it. Example, I was living in Ventura, California, in the marina on my sailboat. And that's another story I'll cover. And I had a big, long Dodge van. Well, to make a living, I lived, you know, right on the finger docks and everything there. I had access to the few fishing boats that come in, so I was peddling shrimp and Dungeness crab and even alligator meat one time. But on this highway to Ojai, there was this Japanese woman that had about an acre of ground and had produce, and she rented a spot to this Mexican young man to sell. He went to Los Angeles and bought fruits and vegetables, and he peddled them. And then I happened to stop by there, and he said, well, why don't you park your van here? I had Fred's seafood products on painted on it. And I didn't have to pay any money. Well, most of my clientele, well, about 60%, 70% were Mexicans. Well, there was about six or seven Mexicans there buying from him, and then he told me a joke. And I won't go into it now. And we were both laughing. I was laughing so dang hard about fell down. And so was he laughing. And the Mexicans just had stone looks on their face. And then he translated what the joke was. And he's all laughing. Okay, now the dead-butted seriousness. That, you know, the ignorant ones when you talk to. Antifa, that's all you hear. Antifa, Antifa. Well, what the hell is that? Divide and conquer. Now, not to talk about Martin Luther King and Gandhi. It's a hard road to hoe. But don't use violence. And I can say this to Christians also. Use the word. That doesn't mean you're not going to get killed. But don't use violence. Well, you can buy any of the people that have money and control especially CIA, the Illuminati, the Masons, to name a few. But not the ultimate head of all of it. You can pay any race to screw up their own race and color. And people can't get this through their stupid, dumb, ignorant heads. And me being a staunch Protestant, and I don't hate Catholics, is they can be duped. The more they understand the Bible, they can understand a lot that's going on RBN. Now, if I have time, and you can, if I'm taking too much time, tell me.
No, go ahead.
And when I was 16 years old, I got to the front door of the high school. I was in the 10th grade. I said, to hell with it. Come back home. Nobody was home then. The kids were at school. My brother and sister and mom and dad were working. So I packed up a little duffel bag. And I was and I was going to Louisiana to get a job on a shrimp boat. Well, I put my wood plane in there, which I was using for a wood shop in junior high school. And carpenter bought it from me, so I had $5, and he's talking about St. Louis. Went to St. Louis, got a job washing dishes, stayed in the home motel, washed my Levi's, my skivvies, and my shirt in the sink, and then after 2 months, I quit, and I caught a freight train to the sunny California. And then when I was mounting the freight train and God dang it, that town right on the border with New Mexico, for Christ's sake, can't remember. This railroad boss, he was a young guy like me, and he was checking me out, wanting an ID. Well, I had my military ID card, and I was a second-class electronics petty officer. And he said, well, you can't buy no electronics, second class electronics petty officer. And he didn't believe me. And he said, you know, get off this railway. So I went up and I hitchhiked, and there was four or five guys who I couldn't get ride with a crowd of people. It's usually one person's best. So I went back to freight yards, and the freight was pulling out, and I jumped on it, and it was making some headway, you know, faster than a guy could run. And there he was, and I give him the one-finger salute, you know, and the clickety-crack, clickety-crack, there he went. Then I got to the outskirts of Phoenix, Arizona, and where the boxcar I was on, I got off, and there was some men jungled up there, and this young guy with no teeth and everything, and they give me a tin can cup of hot chocolate made out of jelly beans, and I drank that, and they told me, everybody's been telling me, don't get caught in Phoenix, you know, them bulls will beat you up, them railroad bulls, and anyhow, I got. And then they said, which my dad had told me years ago, that, that you know, railroad riders, or bums, you could call them, or hoe mans, you know, who come from working with a hoe, that they had different houses marked out that you could go and get a free meal. And they was telling me about the black people. So I went there one time, and pardon what I say, the Aunt Jemima, or Mama, she was scolding me for being so young and all that, but she fed me. Okay, I got out to Los Angeles and all, in that story there. Then at 22 years old.
Did you say Aunt Jemima?
Well, yeah, that was just a joke, you know, humor. Okay, go back to when I was 20, how old was it? 82 or 80. I left Alaska and I went to Mexico and I went in over the border and I had to come back out and get a passport. But anyhow, I went to all over Mexico, mainly on the East Coast at that time. I went through Belize, Guatemala, a little bit of Honduras, and then over to the West Coast. Well, when I come out of Mexico and the Panhandle there on the Caribbean side, and when I got to the Belize-Mexican border, the Mexican border guard, there was a big, tall, black man, slim black man. He must have been about 6'2", and he kind of had oriental eyes, you know. And he said, well, would you give this guy a lift, you know? Well, I've been picking up hitchhikers all my life, you know. I said, sure, because I was going to the capital, I can't remember the name, of Belize. And we got in a conversation, and he was in the Mexican Merchant Marine, and he was trilingual. In other words, he spoke English and the jargon down there, the Indian language. And we stopped at his house, and he made arrangements not too many blocks away that I parked my van, and it was well lit and be watched. It'll be safe here, you know. Then we drove back to his house, and he said, well, you want to go out? And we did, and here I am in this big all-black tavern dance hall and stuff, and I bought one round of drinks, and that was the only nickel that I paid, and had black beans and rice, and I had a hell of a time, and I was the only white man in there, and Jesus Christ, I barely drive that van back. Well, from there, I went to Guatemala, to Tikal, the Inca Mayan temple, and mm-hmm. I took him with me, you know. And when we got there, and with respect, you know, I gave him some clothes and $20, and this man had made money in, you know, being a merchant marine. Then I picked up a Frenchman, a French girl, a Jewish boy, and a Scotsman. They were all young. And I told them, and I was going to Guatemala City, Guatemala, when the Pope was there. And I said, don't smoke any pot in here. I said, they'll confiscate my goddamn van and throw me in the hootscowl and all that. Well, they were lying like hell, and they were smoking. I was really redneck there, and I didn't, you know, believe in marijuana or anything like that. And when we let the French girl and the Jewish boy sleep in the van, and me and the Scotsman slept outside. You know, it was warm enough because they were the Jewish boy and the French gal were kind of friendly together. So I got to Guatemala and exchanged U.S. dollars for Guatemalan money. And I got stopped by two police, and I couldn't speak hardly any Spanish then, and I had the French girl with me, and she didn't like me. And she could speak Spanish. She was bilingual. And then they wanted identification and my licencia, my license. So I gave it to them, and they kept asking me questions in Spanish. And I said, I looked at her and I said, you tell these guys that if they don't give me back, take them rifles and put them where the sun shines. She started speaking Spanish like a magpie. And I grabbed my license, you know, and they let me go. And anyhow, I made it on out over to the west coast of...
No say.
Anything I can go on about stories that's happened to me. I've had an adventurous life, but let's go back to the dead ass stuff. People are still so ignorant. The Hegelian dialectic, the cognitive dissonance, and normalcy bias. It is so damn hard to overcome. And Antifa is run by the government, and also stupid blacks for money, which whites do it, every race do it to their own race. That's how they divide and conquer. And, of course, you get the idiots and even idiot callers, you know, that can't understand. But you're talking about the awakening. Now, I've taken up a hell of a lot of time... But I'd like to tell some more adventurous stories about me, even ethnic.
You said you're in the military. Are you a veteran of any of the wars?
No, I was. I'm 85, so I was too young for Korea, and I was in and out 4 years, 3 months, as I went in on a kiddie cruise at 17. So I only had to do 3 years and 3 months, and I extended a year to get electronics.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your call, my friend. We have to take this commercial break, but please call in again. I love to hear your stories. Thank you. This is a national
alert. Imminent threat is nationwide. You must stay in sight of your homes or risk being shot on sight. The conspiracy is upon you. Your conspiracy friends were right all along. Now you must learn to survive. If you hear this, you are the resistance. This is your emergency broadcast system. The conspiracy is upon you. Your conspiracy friends were right all along. Now you must learn to survive. If you hear this, you are the resistance.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.